Well, good morning. Just so you know, I'm missing my little wind fuzz little thingy. So if you hear wind fuzzing, buzzing, there you go. Pull some out of your beard, bro. Yeah, well, that too. Yeah. So you might hear this every now and then, but that's all right. Just go with it. Stay with me. Don't get distracted. We're easily distracted, aren't we? You're so distracted you didn't even hear me. Are you easily distracted, Hunter? See? Told you. Point exactly. Well, happy Mother's Day. What a treat. What a blessing to be able to speak and share with you. Thank you for even joining us on a Sunday morning on a Mother's Day as we drove by Alpha Lanny's, and there's like more people standing outside waiting to get in there than wanting to go to church. But that's okay. We're here. You thought the same thing. It's like, well, praise the Lord. We're here. We're headed to church to glorify God, worship God together. Amen. Would you guys allow me to speak as the Lord directs me to speak? Oh, good. You gave me your permission. Thank you. I like that. I appreciate that. That means that was a yes. That was a hearty yes, actually. I felt it. Like, oh, man. Oh, that was an amen to what the Lord wants to say this morning. In fact, there's a series that I'm going to start from today on all the way to Father's Day. I think it's going to be fun to talk about this. It's our identity. You know, and as I speak of this, I feel like there's going to be so many things that are going to be opened up that we're going to tackle. We're going to grapple with ourselves. You like grappling with yourself? I mean that in the most pure way possible. I don't know, that sounded weird. Your minds probably went somewhere weird. But when you wrestle with yourself, you're wrestling with that something that God is doing inside of you. Anybody have self-wrestling matches? Yeah. So you relate. Most of you relate to this. So we're going to have a few of these for about a month now. You okay with this? Yes. I got two yeses, but that's all right. I'm losing you as we go. Let's see what happens. So at the heart of what I believe it means to be a Christian is to simply receive and walk in your new identity. Can I get anybody in agreement with that? Amen. Okay. So I want to talk about this because this is super interesting to me as I really unwrap this concept and thought. In Christ, in Jesus, we do not lose our true selves, but we actually become more of our true selves in Him. So I want to unwrap that. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." I love that because it's descriptive of what is actually happening. Not only does it happen, but it's continuously happening in your life as a follower of Jesus. And this really comes down to so much of this. It's a wrestling match within yourself of how much do I give up to let Jesus become all encompassing in me, to where as I surrender to Christ, the more I surrender to Christ, the more I become who Christ has created me to be. Wow. It's a deep paradox that we're going to just, like I said, unwrap, wrestle with, take down, and then swallow up and say, okay, now that's what I'm going to be walking in. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, I love this, and I think this is, now we're going to get into, you're going to see how this message today relates to Mother's Day more than ever before. I've seen it. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Now, first, I think we need to just really deal with something right off the bat. What's an anxiety? Two casts. The directions are obvious, right? Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. We know that. God is mighty and he's got a big hand. So humble yourselves before him. Then he says, cast all your anxieties. Some translations will say cares, if you like how that sounds. I prefer what it actually is saying, which is anxieties. So what's an anxiety? I need to know what an anxiety is in me to cast it upon the Lord. What is an anxiety? Okay, a worry. Somebody just like, yeah, what? Somebody said something over here and I missed it. Okay. That sums up like almost everything in the world, huh? You could fill in the blank anywhere there. A lot of things that bother her? Well, wait. That's why she faces this way. So that you don't bother her. Quit bugging her. Quit poking her. This is for you, brother, not just for her. Yeah, I know. I like the actual definition of what anxiety is. You guys with me? Okay. You're going to find out what an anxiety is. Do you know what it means? You have no idea, right? What's your idea?
Something that you worry about.
Gosh. Something that you worry about. That was already said. That one's taken. Give you a minute. How about why don't you just listen? Listen up. How about that? It's this. It says this in the dictionary. An anxiety is a distress or uneasiness caused by fear of loss, danger, or misfortune that results in a state of apprehension. Cast all your anxieties upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Do I need to reread that? Because that was a good... You guys like what that means? Just so we understand what I'm casting upon the Lord. It's a distress or a bother. An uneasiness. You could say a worry. Caused by fear. Fear of loss, danger, or misfortune. But that results in apprehension. What's apprehension? Something that halts you, stops you, keeps you from going forward. Correct? That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And what God is telling us to do, what Peter is actually directed by the Holy Spirit to speak to those who are dealing with anxieties, is to cast them upon the Lord. Because he cares for you. So I'm thinking about this thought about how this relates to Mother's Day, because I have noticed an extremely noble trait in moms that closely, almost identically resembles God's character trait to care for you and I as his children. That results, listen to this, that results in his desire for you and I to be all that God has created you to be. Let me try to put it in a simpler state, because that's how I understand it. But basically, moms like God, God like moms, wants you, desire for you to be who you are, all that you are to be. Okay, you guys with me? Okay, and I love this about this, because I've seen this, I've witnessed this in Robin more than anybody, because I believe that I believe this trait is in every single mom. God has infused it into the DNA of a mom. Now, what hinders, sometimes there's moms that there's hindrances from that being blocked, that desire for your children to be all that God has created you to be, all that they are destined, determined, all that they are supposed to be, right? As a mom, that's like something that every mom has a desire for. Are you guys with me? Okay. Do you agree with me? Now, there's issues in mom's life sometimes that hinder that will actually like divert that. And so... Even, but here's what really God showed me, this neat picture, that even that is that which God has designed moms to be is something that is who God has created them to be. So there's even that very desire. So here's what it blew my mind as I was thinking about this. Your mom's mom had that desire in them to make your mom be the mom that she was created to be. Wow, my mind just went really goofy places there. Does that make any sense to anybody? Really? Wow, you guys are as weird as me. I don't know if that's a good thing or if you guys are, I don't know. Now I'm worried about y'all. I have witnessed and noticed Robin even getting to the point of a righteous anger when one of our children surrender to a state of mind that is less than who they are. And I believe that's a character trait that God, as his caring, if I could say this, and I believe I can say this, Blake, can I say this? I'll say it and I'll ask your permission afterwards or your correction. Does God have, God has a maternal characteristic about him. Father God has a maternal characteristic about him. Can I say that? Okay, good. Thank you. I wasn't sure if I'd get in trouble for that one. No, heck, in this day and age, I could say just about anything about God, can I? And not get in trouble. You guys, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for correcting me and, like, yeah, holding me to the fire. It's like, you bet. Okay. It's an analogy. As Father God. So I believe this to be actually really awesome to understand, because as we understand this, when God says to cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you, what he's imploring us to do and encouraging us to do as Father God, who has maternal characteristics about him, is to say, my desire for you is for you to be all that you are created to be. And when you do, when you hold on to stuff that bogs you down, that causes apprehension in your life, that causes you fear and stress and worry and bothers you, when you hold on to this stuff, you now become apprehensive. You are blocked from being all that God has called you to be. And that almost even, if I can say this, I know I can, it almost even angers God that about his children. In other words, he gets upset with you because you're not who you are. You're not living in, walking in who you are created to be in a loving way. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Because that's where we're at. And so in this loving Heavenly Father way, his desire for each and every one of us is for us to be who God's created us to be. The new creation, isn't that awesome? I mean, this is really good news. I want us to understand this and receive this as good news. Hello? You guys, okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Glenn. Now I need to note, I think it needs to note because I actually put it in quotes as a note in my notes. I'm not referring to the unrealistic expectations that parents put on their children to be someone that they're not supposed to be. Yeah, go to a Little League game. It's almost a joke. And I mean that in the best way, but at the same time, also the most real way is what some parents lie to their kids about is almost, it's almost to the point of it being abuse. And I know that you may say, come on, Eric, that can't be abuse, to tell your kid that they could be anything they want to be, and they could do anything they want, and they could have the world. You could be the president of the United States. You could do this. You can own your own company. You could be all this stuff. And you're lying to your kid when you're telling them stuff that they're not supposed to be. Does that make sense to you? And that's an unrealistic expectation that we put on, because, you know, one of the things that Robin and I have done with our children so much so, that, and we're doing this with the boys in a way that we're asking for God's wisdom and discernment and even courage to see what it is that they're supposed to be, to see, even get just a little bit of an insight so that we can encourage and direct and even help them to go in that direction that they're supposed to go. And that's actually a really good thing. You know, and it's not this where I'm living vicariously through my kids. Does that make sense? You guys know what that means, right? What does it mean to live vicariously through your children? Since I asked you and you said yes, tell me what it means. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, Jenny said it pretty well. Things that you feel you missed out on, so you want your kids to experience. Or things that, I have a relative that has some kids, and this relative of mine, I'm trying to just be ambiguous so that, what? I know. I'm trying to be as ambiguous as Paula as possible. That the only thing in this person's life that was important and valuable as a high school student or person that was growing up was being known and being popular, being accepted. And even at that, that was Does anybody else want to take over up here? No, well, a delusion of how what we were supposed to be because of our parents who didn't give us stability and security in who we were as a child, as a person. So we tried to become something within our peers that wasn't supposed to happen. So in growing up and having children, pushing this on her children to be popular, to be known, to be something in your school to where you were accepted. Like that was the most important thing. This person was living vicariously through her children. And it pushed them to the point of a lot of compromise, because now you have to give up who you actually are to try to be something that your parent wants you to be and your peers want you to be. Hello? Yeah, that's dangerous. And it's even deadly almost, to the point of, because there's so much compromise that happens, you don't ever discover who you're supposed to be. Wow, I just got really into a psychic world that I don't know anything about other than myself. Wow. Anybody else want to go deeper? You want to come and bounce around in my head for a little while? Yeah. Forming what? Forming cliques is a form of that. Amen. So I want to talk about this discussion, if you will. Bring it up as a discussion, because I think it's valid, and we need to open it up, if you will, a can of worms. Which I always thought that was such an odd phrase, a can of worms. Anyway. Whenever I open up a can of worms, they pretty much just stay there until I go to pull them out. They don't like all bounce out like, ah, the worms are out. No, they'll stay. They're just fine. Anyway, stupid things we say, isn't it? Like, okay, let's talk about it. Are you our unique identity in Christ? When we surrender all of ourselves to Christ, do we become less of an individual? I'm just, it's a discussion, right? When we say, you know, the logical mind would say, if I give up all of myself, then who am I? If I surrender to Jesus, then who do I become? A bunch of little Jesuses? Yes. Amen. It opens up the discussion of this really amazing paradox that I believe to be working in and living through all of us, which I think is awesome. The more that we surrender all of ourselves to Christ, actually, the more I become and I walk in my true identity of all that I am supposed to be. It's amazing. It really is amazing. And until you walk in it, this apprehension to walk in that, you will actually stay back into this closed off person that you're not supposed to be. But until you surrender all, until you say yes and amen to all that God has promised for you, you won't discover it. And you'll try to become things and a person that you're not supposed to be. Hello? Has anybody tried that one? Yeah, we've tried it. And it didn't work. I mean, whether we've got involved in other in illicit relationships to substance abuses, to whatever it is we've tried things to become something that we're not supposed to be. Anybody? Yeah. So this place that we come to is complete surrender that actually makes us more of a complete person. That's awesome. That's awesome. So what happens to me as me when I die to myself and live for Christ? What happens to me as me when I die to myself and live for Christ? It's a really simple term. It's been real popular for a lot of years in the Bible and in culture. I become born again. I am born again. I am born again, right? When I die to myself and live for Christ, I am born again. So I got 3 points that I wanted to discuss that actually doesn't happen. So listen to this. These are really good. I thought they were really good. You are not who you once were when you're born again. Amen. I like what John Newton says. John Newton, you guys know, he wrote Amazing Grace. As a slave trader, and then he turned pastor, he once wrote this. He says, listen to this. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world, but I am still not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am, and I push forward to be all that God has created me to be. That's a good word, isn't it? I'll even read it again because it was really that good. I like it. It says, I am not what I ought to be, I am not what I want to be, and I am not what I hope to be in another world just yet. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am and push forward to be all that God has created me to be. So we, as in the same, we strive for all that Christ is in us. And at every humble toss, because that's what he says, right? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and cast. I like it as a toss. Just throw. At every humble toss, that I throw all of my anxieties on Him, I become more of my true identity in Christ. Isn't that awesome? So at every turn that I surrender and I toss it all to God, and I throw it, I cast it onto God, I become more of who I am actually created to be. So isn't the truth also the same, the opposite of that also true? At every place that I hold on to what I think I deserve, Hello? The places that I hold on to, what I think I have earned, what I think I deserve, I become actually less of who I'm actually created to be. Did you guys hear me on that one? There's a destructive lie that says you deserve to be happy. It's destructive. Because it's at those places, when I feel like I deserve to be happy, when I deserve this, when I deserve that, I've worked for it, I've earned it. Every place that, you know, I'm just going to go to my own personal experiences, but at every juncture in my life where I have stood on what I felt like I deserved, it's caused an uproar in my family. Because I start standing on and thinking, this is what I deserve. I've worked for this. I've done good here. I've done good there. You all need to recognize it and pat me on the back and tell me how good I am. Anybody else do that? Are you guys going to leave me hanging? I'm the only one that does that. Okay. All right. I see how it is. That's all right. But I love the paradoxical truth that says, the more I let go of myself, the more I become my true self. Right? Amen. Amen. That was a good one, right? Good job, brother. There we go. See, I got to do it myself now since I can't just... Come on, you. Thanks for laughing, guys. Yeah. Here's another point that happens when we are born again. You are not how you feel. You are not how you feel. This gets a little bit edgy and a little bit dicey. Because I don't know if there's many of us that realize this truth, that how you feel is not necessarily how you are actually doing. This is a good truth to know and understand. How many of you have been feeling just on top of the world, really good about life and everything that's going on in life? How many of you ever felt that way, but you're just absolutely doing horrible because you're living in sin and you continue to choose it, but you're feeling great about it? So how you feel doesn't really translate to how you're actually doing. And most of us can understand how I feel when I'm feeling just really down, when I'm feeling in despair, when I'm feeling like just nobody cares, not even God. That's not how I'm actually doing also, right? Peter wrote his letters to those who were feeling abandoned and forgotten by God, to remind us and to remind his readers that the good news that we first believed, that we first accepted and said yes to, is still the good news today, in spite of how I feel, right? He wrote that. He wrote these letters. In fact, I'll read this first portion of it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Listen to this. Because this was a group, you know, he says it to those who have been dispersed. This is how he starts out his letter. To those who have been scattered, to those who are being persecuted, to those who are struggling with what's going on. It may seem like everything is falling apart. God has forgotten us. In fact, he even refers to it later on in the middle of 1 Peter, that says that to those who have abandoned the faith, to those, it seems like everything's just going okay for them. But you, I need you to hear this. You, as people who have said yes to Jesus, people who have committed their lives, people who have surrendered to Jesus, you need to understand and hear this truth. Do you realize today, and I'm going to, before I read that passage, do you realize in this day and age, right here today, in our modern society, in fact, right now as we're sitting in this room, there's still martyrdom that happens in this world. Do you know this as true? Okay, if you don't know it, I'm going to tell you, it is true. Do you realize that today, in this day and age, if you were to get baptized in a Middle Eastern country, as a surrendering to, you know, water baptized, say, yes, I believe in Jesus, and let's go get baptized, within your chances of being executed within a couple weeks, within really just a couple weeks, goes up astronomically. You will actually, now you put yourself at risk of, when I say yes, and I actually make that public commitment to be baptized, you have about a 90% chance of being executed. It's not just restrictive to there, but it is happening everywhere we go. Hello? I don't know if we need to just really talk about that, because that's actually really happening right here and now. Right here and now. It stops me in my tracks when I say, oh, am I worried about somebody finding out I'm a Christian at the grocery store or at the restaurant because I pray for my food? Oh, goodness gracious, we're cowards. Oh, that was for me. You guys don't have to receive that one. But let's go on to this. You guys with me? Did you come back with me? Come back with me, okay? All right. I know that's a hard truth to know and understand, but it's a very, very real truth. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, I'm going to start there. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away in spite of how you feel. Hello? Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Can you guys all understand and accept that grieved is... It's an emotion that's attached to a circumstance, right? We're not denying the emotion that it's real. I think that's kind of ridiculous to do, to actually reject and deny your emotions. But not to allow your emotions to dictate and direct your way of living. Grieving is real. And he says that. Even now you have been grieved by various trials. But here's the reason. Here's the purpose behind it. And I love this, that he actually gets into this. It's that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's awesome. That's a word that speaks a very good truth to me, that says, I am not how I feel at this moment. I need to know that this is a truth, that this is the word of God that is the truth that I stand on. That no matter what I'm going through, at any time I'm going through it, whether it be minor or major, whether it be full of happiness or full of grief, the truth is that God is doing something amazing in me and through me. Hello? Hello? Amen. I love this, because this is actually giving me substance to stand on my faith, to continue forward, to keep going, to push forward, to push through. I think that's a good word. And this is a good one too. And this one's going to probably get us, I don't know, we'll see where it takes us. You are not where you fall. You are not where you fall. So listen to this. You are born again, right? You said yes to Jesus. You say yes to Jesus. You are born again by the Spirit of God. And every follower of Christ has repented from our sins. Yes, it's a part of our being born again. And yet we continue to battle the temptation to sin, don't we? Yes, and everybody else that's lying, yes to. While we have to be honest and vigilant about sin, in other words, we have to say, we have to be straightforward with it, the remaining sin does not define us anymore. Even the sin that just like won't let go of me, it seems like. Does anybody have any of those? I won't even look. I promise. I won't look. You can raise your hand. Everybody cover your eyes and raise your hand. Now that's a big truth to receive. How many of you struggle with that? Huh? How many of us struggle with, yeah, but there's this about me that I still struggle with. Almost so much so that we take it on as our identity, don't we? Just think about this, though, if we can go here, and I got, there's some more words I need to speak about it. I'm going to take us a place in the Spirit, though, I believe that God wants us to see and understand, is if the cross of Christ, that which Jesus surrendered to and gave his life for, all of my sin, he nailed it to the cross. It's all of my sin that I even struggle with to let go of, isn't it? So then the places that I just like, if I think, oh, but it's my struggle, what we're actually doing is we're actually invoking, I'm going to be careful about this because I don't want to present God as this indignant God that's always mad at us. But it provokes a righteous anger in God because he gave his son for that. And when we refuse to receive that grace of his son on the cross, nailing our sin to the cross, we're saying, well, that wasn't really good enough. I got to handle this one on my own. You guys hear what that's saying, though? It's almost like it, when a mom loves to see her child growing in the grace of God, walking in the path that they're walking in, that they should be walking in, and they choose, then they say, no, I know that's a better path and that's a good one for me, but I think I'm just going to go this one because I think I need to figure it out all on my own. And I need to do all this falling and tumbling and wrestling and crumbling and hurting and aching, and I just need to do it all on my own because that's just who I am. How is a mom going to feel about that? They get a little upset. It's like, you don't need to be that way. You don't need to walk that way. Cast all your anxieties on me. I care for you. And that's what God is calling us to be and do. Even the ones that are besetting of us, the ones that are holding us down and causing us to really not even walk, but just kind of like cower. The sin patterns in your past are not who you are. Christ is teaching you by the Holy Spirit to live as a new creation, a new person, that God has made you to be. See, our new identity in Christ is not a license to just not, you know, just say, well, this is who I am. Anybody? I'm just gonna move on because I know that the Holy Spirit's really getting to the point of this. See, when sin crouches at our door, our new identity as a child of God gives us the courage and the charge, the actually authority, to now open that door and by the sword of the Spirit slash it to pieces and say, be gone. Did you guys hear that? That's a good word and that's a truth. Because before Christ, before the new creation, before being born again, sin crouched at the door. They didn't even have to crouch at the door. Our door was wide open. And we had no idea that it was sin. We had no idea that we were living in it. We just like walked to and fro. It's like, hey, come on in. It's a party. Right? Sin is a party before Christ. Sin is miserable after Christ, isn't it? Yeah, all of us can testify to that. It's basically calling us and charging us to stand in our identity and who we are as a child of God with the authority of Christ in us by the sword of the Spirit to slash it to pieces, kick it out the door, lock the door, slam it shut, and walk in our new identity. That's good news. That's actually good news. It's freeing to walk free of sin. Wow, what a neat idea. What a neat idea. So when we are one with Christ, you are at war with your remaining sin, all of us. You are no longer your greatest temptation. You are no longer your besetting sin. The eyes of God see you without blemish in Christ. They see you. The eyes of God see you pure and spotless because they see Jesus in you. The eyes of God see Jesus in you. And here's the good news, and I think it's the best news of all. We sing about it. No one or no thing can snatch you from the heart and hands of who you are in Christ. That's a good news, right? That's good word, because there's nothing that can take me out of it. Nothing that can snatch me from it. Except ourselves. Not even yourself. Wow, are you kidding me? That's good news. So when we read this, I'm going to read it again. It's 1 Peter. Well, I didn't read it before yet, so I'm going to read it now. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I love it. Because this is who you are. Who are you? You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let me tackle this for another few minutes, if you will, okay? Because I love this, and having an artistic daughter has opened my mind about this understanding of the creation of God in us and through us. And I'm see if I can put it into words what is in my spirit. I'm going to give it a go. You guys with me? So try to. In fact, just ask the Holy Spirit to translate for you. Does that make sense? In other words, I'm going to say some stuff, and you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to translate what I'm saying. You guys with me? I'll ask the Holy Spirit to speak the words. You ask the Holy Spirit to translate. Right. See, God does not save us to be a bunch of clones or robots. Hello? Hunter, you with me? God does not save us so that we could just be all the same. Amen. Come on. Right? Oh, whew, that's a good word. I like that. But God saves us to be the unique individuals that He's created us to be. Aren't we? Isn't it amazing how unique and amazingly creative that God is in creating each and every one of us? So awesome. If you want to say weird, that's okay. Yeah. God has made us all a little weird, and it's awesomely weird. It's really awesomely weird. I love it. And as God has done this and is doing this, I mean, we're talking like, you know, billions of weird creations that he looks at and he says, wow, 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 8 billion times. That's amazing. So when he's doing this, when he's done this and he's continuously doing this by the blood of Christ that's actually set us free from the unweirdness, do you realize that? The unweirdness is being like everybody else. The weirdness is being who God has created you to be. Come on. Yeah, let's be weird. And it's really awesome because as we really just say yes to it, I'm opening the door to this amazing new creation that God has created me to be. I'm 50 years old and just discovering this, how weird I am. I know. And it's great and it's glorious. And it's so glorious because here's the beauty of it. In that oddness and uniqueness and weirdness of who I am and who you are now a living, walking, breathing testimony to the grace of God and God's beauty and God's creation. And so when we cower to the thing, the fear and the anxiety of being like everybody else or being fitting into something that I'm not supposed to be, we actually cower to and we kind of close ourselves in and we close off the creativity of who God has created us to be. And instead, when we say, you know what? I'm going to cast it all to God. I'm going to throw it all to God. There's this, it's as though... I love gardening. You can have a plant that produces flowers, but every flower is uniquely beautiful and individually awesome. And every flower that is out of the same plant even can be so amazingly gorgeous. I just love it. Anybody else like gardening or... It's become a passion of mine, right? Deborah, like, where'd she go? She's teaching. She watches our house when we're gone, and she gets to water all my flowers, And she's always, she's like, it's so amazing what, and it's really just recently, I mean, like within the last few years, and it's such a joy, and it's like there's this continuous opening up of like, wow, of creativity and insight into this is just a flower, and it's so beautiful and it's so amazing, and each flower comes out of the same plant, and it's like, wow, how does this one look so much different than that one, but yet it looks very similar. I'm thinking, that's the creativity of God in us. I love it. It's amazing. He's doing that in us and through us. Hello? You are set apart. Not just to enjoy God, but to show others His worth. His worth by being all that He has created you to be. You guys hear that? Basically what I just said, what? It's not all about you. It's not all about you. You are called, you are set apart to enjoy all of God so that others can see all of God in you. Amen. Amen. It's really beautiful. Hey, you guys are really beautiful people. You're welcome, James. I mean, you really are beautiful people. That's not just tongue in cheek. I mean it. I really do mean it. You're beautiful people. Let me start over this little... This is the last note, and then we're going to pray. You are set apart in Christ... to not just to enjoy all of God, but to show others His worth by being all that He's created you to be. You belong to God, not just to live forever, but to testify forever. You are chosen by God to be all that He has created you to be and to go where He has called you to go. Amen? Amen. Just as your mom. My mom. My children's mom. Desire for you to be the person that started in her womb. God has that same desire for you to be all that He's created you to be. And at every place we surrender to His will, we become more of that beautiful creation. That's awesome. That's good news. I love it. So let's pray and worship the Lord. Man, I worked up a sweat up here. Oh, what a great day in the Lord. Thank you. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you that all of your traits, all of your attributes are so relatable for us. You really do come down to our level to show us you. And we are grateful and we are thankful that by your grace, you welcome us in. And by your mercy, you hold us in. By your kindness, you draw us and you lead us and you bring us in to your kingdom, to your glory, to your beauty, and who you have created us all to be. Thank you that we're all so different. Thank you, Jesus. May we come to the place of celebrating how amazingly beautiful we are in you. May we hold your word as our holy truth. Your word that just that digs deep into my soul, the sword of your spirit, dividing the untruths, separating them, throwing them to the side and receiving all that is true. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we are born again. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.